Almighty and eternal Father, as we enter into thy presence to worship you in spirit and truth, we do not offer the assembling of ourselves together, catalyzing the word of faith. We meditate upon it as we become joined to it, recognizing thy instructions, seeking to know thy purposes. We thank you, our Father, for the revelation of thy word, which you have given unto thy people through the inspiration of thy Spirit. Through the Spirit of thy Spirit and the life of thy life, you have made known unto them thy thoughts. So it is that we approach thee, that we might be guided by thy wisdom and by thy knowledge, knowing that thou possessest omnipotent power, that thou hast complete omniscience and all understanding and all wisdom. Knowing also that being Spirit of thy Spirit, we can understand these things which you would make known unto us. Because thy Spirit searcheth out all things and knoweth all things, there is nothing that comes to pass is not known to thee. Even the spirit of prophecy that proclaims the things which are yet ahead that have not yet taken place. Thankful, our Father, therefore, that we who are the children of thy household are the children of thy Spirit, having been begotten by thy Spirit before the world was framed, existing in celestial and spiritual realms with thee, implanted in the earth as thy people and thy household, thy race and thy nation. Thankful that thy church, which becomes the oracle of thy word, can continue to proclaim and shall continue to proclaim thy word, that it is out of the understanding of these things which you make known to thy people that the great energy in the force which creates tomorrow shall develop it according to thy foreknowledge. And that we who are thy instruments in thy hand, thy children, the citizens of thy kingdom, to carry the responsibility as thy sons and thy daughters, shall bring in this which you have ordained as you move upon thy people to know. We pray that throughout the length and breadth of this land and all the great nations of thy kingdom, that thy Spirit shall break through upon the consciousness of thy children, that they shall understand thy purposes, that they shall know thy word, that they shall proclaim thy word from one end of the nation to the other, and find the great strength and power for the transition that shall take place, that shall cleanse again this great household by the proclamation of thy word. So we commit ourselves to thy hand, saying, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, recognizing, our Father, that whatsoever you have committed against this day, it shall be done. So we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. In these historic periods of time in which we as the part of God's kingdom live, the tremendous events happening all around us and standing on the threshold of new events prophetically, it's very important that we understand our relationship in the purposes of God. It is most important also that we know the most important thing. There are many things that men can know. They can fill themselves with knowledge, but the most important knowledge around the most important thing, this is the most vital thing for us to understand. Jesus was to make this very clear when we see men striving everywhere for sustenance and for life, that men shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. By this declaration, Jesus also refers to himself as the bread of life, that I am the bread that came down out of the heavens, and thus the words which I speak, they are life, and my word is eternal life. Thus the value of the word is established clearly from the lips of Jesus. When we talk to you about the Word of God, we want you to understand this afternoon that the answer and the victory over every force that seeks to destroy our civilization and our society, to make war against the nations of God's kingdom, can be settled completely and can be blocked by the Word of God. We feel there is no more powerful force placed in your hand. And when we refer to the declaration of the Scriptures that the Word of God is more powerful than a two-edged sword, I point that in this declaration, this was not an idle statement. For the Word of God, we are told in Hebrews, in the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, is more powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even asunder to the soul, and separates the soul from the spirit, the joints from the marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight of God, nor are in all things are naked before him, open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. As the children of the Most High God, we have one great basic responsibility: to serve our family, to serve our Father, to carry out His will and His objectives. And your success in life and in the world is going to be dependent upon this. I point out to you that success sometimes is rated by the difference of objectives. There are some who consider that success must be the acquisition of much substance or an area of great influence. Some have attained this in what we see of the demagoguery of our time, or in the vast accumulation of wealth, most of which they have taken from somebody else and swindled them out of. So we point out to you that success in earth is to carry out the objectives for whence you were sent here. As the children of the Father, if you did not accomplish the objectives for which purpose you were sent into the earth, then you would say that I have been unsuccessful because you were unable to accomplish what you came for. But the ultimate purpose of God is not going to have unsuccessful sons. He's going to have triumphant sons, transformed by illumination, wisdom, and understanding into His own image of power and glory. So I tell you this afternoon that the most important thing that you and I possess is the knowledge of God's purposes and the ability to proclaim this knowledge, to bear witness to this knowledge, and then to command by the authority of such wisdom. We refer in the scriptures of the book of Hebrews to the declaration then that it is more powerful even than the two-edged sword. We turn to 2 Peter, and in the third chapter of 2 Peter, we find these words, that the very elements of creation, the very heavens of old, the very earth itself, comes into existence by the power of the Word of God. The elements of transition, the struggles and the conditions that God will bring through the great crucible of His own purposes by the same Word is reserved to this transition by the Word of God. We're told the heavens of old were thus created by it and by its command. The understanding of the Word of God, therefore, is the understanding of the organization of God's universe. And this is one reason why the children that are children of His Spirit have a greater capacity to perceive and to delve into the depths of the realities and the sciences of the things of earth than any other people, because being Spirit of His Spirit, His Spirit can bring unto them the vision and create within them the initiative to find the thing that they search for, or to bring to pass the answer, the question which they ask. Make no mistake about it this afternoon. There has never been in the history of the earth any people that have had the capacity to develop the earth, to adapt the situations and conditions necessary for expansion, for life, for achievement, like the peoples of the Adamic race of the white world. The nations of the Western world, the have-nations of the earth today, are the have-nations because of knowledge, and knowledge that has come out of inspiration and is moved by the Spirit from the mind of God through the minds of men who can think in consistency with Him. The ability to merely think or reason is not enough. There's no question about thinking and reasoning, each within the realm of their source of background or of knowledge. This is found in the flux of their religions and the impact upon their societies among the other races of earth, of Africa, of Asia. But make no mistake about it, the great spiritual transition, the mighty force of power, the great capacity to manifest truth from error, or to create true knowledge and true science, must move out of the mind of He who synthesized all these things. It is not a sign of weakness to be dependent upon the source from whence all wisdom and knowledge came, but it is a total sign of ignorance to not discern that out of this source must proceed all wisdom. There can be no question this afternoon that there are many people who are too stubborn to seek guidance or do not wish to admit the source of knowledge. They vaunt themselves as having been the masters of philosophy and of knowledge and of understanding. When a discovery comes from their fingertips in the laboratory, or has been the byproduct of some area of their research, they would make you to believe that they had discovered this great fact, and this fact was dependent upon their proclamation. But I want you to know that all wisdom and all knowledge has proceeded forth from He who we humbly can say, our Father which art in heaven, but we can proudly acknowledge that we are His children. And therefore, from such sources of vision and inspiration comes the great and mighty capacity to adapt oneself to the areas of his creation and to make such changes in that area of creation that have been mutated by the powers of darkness and revolution. The civilizing force that moves through the kingdom of God and through the nations of God's household are the byproduct of such visions. It is the pulsing, living word of God within his people. And if it were not for this capacity to perceive his mind or to understand his word, we, like other nations and other races, would have nothing any different than they, because all flesh possesses more or less the same chemical consistency. We point out to you then that you have your distinction, your capacities, your superiority, and in the mind of God, your supremacy, because you are spirit of his spirit, and you demonstrate this when activated by the wisdom and knowledge of that spirit, and not, my friends, by any other procedure. There is no doubt about the cunning of Lucifer. There is no question today that he wages war upon the kingdom of God by seeking to move against the concepts of God and so capture the mind of men as to have them thinking in areas of error. And then by the sheer mass of the captives of error, make the individual think that he must be out of step if he does not embrace the areas of error. There are far more people among the have-not nations of the world today than there are among the have-nations. You might qualify this also, that all the areas of the have-nations are not in the temporal things which they have attained, but in the spiritual capacities which they possess. You will never make have-nations out of have-not nations in the areas of spiritual capacity merely by your proclamation of truth, but it will come only by transitions that God has ordained if he makes new creatures out of them in the areas to come. Your most important objective in living today is to fulfill in this hour in which you live the responsibilities of sons and daughters of God for the purposes which God unveils he would bring to pass in this hour. If you stand for the kingdom of God and for the purposes of God, if you live in the blueprint and project of his purpose, then you're going to be unpopular with the world, and the world is not going to acclaim you. But I want you to know this afternoon that you can choose between success and error to this extent, that if you try to meet the acclaim of the world in carrying out an objective that they cannot fulfill, then you're going to be a total failure, even though the world may say you're successful in the mediocrity of its program. We have too many people today in high offices, whether they be president of the United States or the cabinet roundabout, that are seeking to satisfy the world order. And in this design to satisfy the world order, to be known as hail fellows well met, they embrace all the semantics of the propaganda with which they would make the kingdom of God mediocrity and place their world order and supremacy over it. As I point out, their success is very short-lived. In the hours which are yet ahead, as we have referred to in the past, everything in my kingdom that hurts or destroys is going to be taken out. Every plant that my father did not plant shall be plucked up by the root. The great and final destiny of the earth is tied up with the kingdom. Make no mistake about it. And the success of that kingdom which God has ordained. When we talk about the word of God, we are talking about final fiat. And this is important for us to understand. Let me point out to you that in the same course of declaration, in which we are told that the word is significant, important, that we can't live by bread alone, but we must live with this understanding, we turn to the promised prophet Amos in the 8th chapter of the book of Amos in the 11th verse. The prophet Amos says that one of the things in these latter days is going to be a famine. He said there's going to be a famine throughout the land, and he said it's not going to be a famine of bread. It's going to be a famine of the hearing of the word of God. I tell you today that it is more dangerous to have a famine of the hearing of the word of God than it might be to have a famine of bread. Because without the knowledge of the word of God, a nation goes into slavery, a people pass the heights of their attainment, and they can be moved into a condition of total disintegration and breaking down. There is no life for the kingdom apart from that source of life that brought it into being. Now this afternoon, I want you to understand that there is no problem that faces us today in these United States. Not one problem that faces us in the state of California that is not solved when we synchronize our energies with the word of God to put the word of God into effect. I want you to know that all the South battling the voracious forces of internationalism, liberalism, and anti-God design that seeks to mongrelize and integrate the South by false interpretations, by irresponsible legislation,
wholly unconstitutional according to the concepts of our founding fathers. Let me tell you something. You can buck this thing, you can battle this, and still watch the rough hand of government step in with power, with truth, with legislation, with judges, with corruption, and crush the truth.
Let me tell you what they can't stand. The most powerful weapon on the face of the earth is the Word of God. And today, in order to battle the darkness, in order to challenge the people, in order to set a nation aflame, there's only one thing necessary, and that's speak the Word. Why, if every clergyman would wake up, if the church would, as the responsible oracle that is supposed to be among its literal stance, so it is that oracle in its spiritual sense, were to start proclaiming in the South and across our nation what the Bible said on the integration question, my friends, America would be challenged back to life, and there'd be a complete throwing out of this whole racist policy or an impeachment of every man that sought to support it. One says, preach the word. When Timothy, as the young minister, was to start out, the first thing the Apostle Paul told him, he said, never mind, preach the word. Doesn't make a difference who your enemies are, what they have to say, just proclaim this. If you preach the word, you have the impact of the power of God behind you, because he says, my word shall not return unto me void. Every proclamation, every declaration that has come out of the mouth of God is vital, it's living. Because it's but an expression in semantics, whether quoted or carried on, of the great wavelength of the thoughts of God. I don't have to defend the word. Every once in a while, some minister says, well, we've got to defend the word against the enemy. Don't you worry about defending the word. The word will take care of itself, and everything that falls upon it will break and crumble. You don't have to defend the word, just proclaim it. I had the opportunity, if you call it that, the other day, to talk to an educator who was somewhat of an agnostic, and in the course, however, of his discussion, he was going along with a liberal trend and anything that we evolved out of the world order that met their design or what they call social success would be good. He didn't think it made any difference what color people were, just so the end product would be some highly evolved and developed area of society, which he in his ignorance thought would transpire. No mongrelization ever evolves anything good. It just deteriorates the highest part of it that joins itself to it. Anytime you take a higher order and fuse it with a lower order, you just lower the higher order, and the offspring are not as high as the higher order, and the other society never ultimately is able to absorb or participate in the absorption for its own good of what it has no wavelength with. But as this man started to speak, and he talked, I said, you're all wrong anyhow. He said, what do you mean you're all wrong? Well, there's only one authority that finally must be the last word. I said, you're in direct opposition to the Word of God. Well, what difference does that make? But the Word of God said, thou shalt come out from among them, be separate or segregated, and touch not the unclean thing. This is the divine command. And if this is the divine command, this is the way it's going to be. All your plans are going to fail. He said, but he said, suppose I don't believe the Bible. It doesn't make any difference. We're going to do it anyhow. So he stopped talking. Stopped talking. The other day I talked to a man who was wound all up in the areas of the economy. And he decided, well, of course, we might as well recognize that the small concepts of economy and of gold and of silver and of hard money and of good backed-up economy, as some fed people suggested even as we started out, no longer can it fit because we have become so big a nation and we're so very diversified and our activities must be coordinated and there must be masterminds to coordinate all of this. So just as long as they keep moving the goods around by some procedure, he said, it doesn't make any difference. And there has to be an area somehow of the use of this. And he says, there's got to be a price placed on money. And a vast number of men have got to live just on handling the money and on the price paid for its use and so forth. So he was starting to talk. Well, I said, the whole process is going to fail because it has been founded on a procedure called usury. And the Word of God says, thou shalt charge no man usury. And if you inculcate into your system usury, and you permit the sons of Lucifer to handle your money, and you permit them to control your economy, and you permit the enemies of God's family to come into a Christian nation,
and then rise to areas of affluence in the banks and in the areas of the distribution of your monetary life, then you're going to have economy troubles. You're going to have depressions. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have war because these destroyers live on you like parasites. Now the solution is the Word of God.
What's the Word of God got to do with it? It says, first, you don't let the parasites come into your land, and secondly, you don't let them handle your money, and third, you operate your money with a just set of weights and measures, and you don't deprive and defraud, you don't charge usury. Well, he said, of course, he says, the great financiers and the economists today, and he said, even these people that you're referring to, and he says, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the Jews. I said, I'm glad you understand me. Well, he said, if they couldn't have any area of usury and no profit on their money, they'd leave. I said, that's the best thing I've ever heard of. The problem is solved quickly by the Word of God. Tomorrow, America has a historic visit. Today, another historic occasion. By a violation of divine law, we now are putting aside the intelligent procedures that God stirred our statesmen to frame for our protection to keep out of this country what we can assimilate and what has nothing, no partner lot with it. We have had these areas of restriction. We call them immigration laws. The new immigration law takes off the restriction and lets anything of any race, color, creed come into these United States. This is against the Word of God. So how can you fight this? You can't fight this, they tell you. You can fight it. You can just start proclaiming the Word of God until every American wakes up, every Christian finds his heritage, and starts talking about a violation of the Word of God, and the very structure of the political policies that frame this era will shake. They're at the right place today. That Statue of Liberty. So they said, isn't that a grand old emblem? I'm not too sure that we got too much of a gift when they gave that big idol to us. We stuck it out there. It may look good when you're coming back from some foreign part of the world to God's country, but when you get back there and see that idol, if you don't know what they've written on it. Right. Well, you say, that's the goddess of liberty. I don't have any other gods but Yahweh. There's no one God in Israel. That statue didn't give us anything. You say that's an emblem of something. Well, but it's only if you impute it to it. I'm going to tell you this, that your life, your freedom comes from truth. Your liberty is built in truth, and the carrying out of the preservation of that liberty comes with the synchronization with the laws of God. Without that, you fall into superstition and bondage because you break the law. The law itself binds you. So the president's down there. What does it say? Give us of the scum from your foreign shores. Empty your prisons and send them to us. Give us your misfits, your never-do-wells. Give us the scum of the earth, it says on that Statue of Liberty. It was an appeal some Jew must have concocted to send America everything that was refuse throughout the world, and we'd make something out of it. See? Well, we've gotten all the garbage they could dump on us, but it wasn't the garbage that made America. Remember that. America was made by devout men that desired to serve God, that came here with spiritual design. So I said there were a lot of people that came among settlers that didn't have any spiritual design. They didn't make America. It was the one with spiritual vision that made it. There may have been men that were guided by other things than the desire to be free, to serve God, and to build a great new order, but God was building the new order. God had set in destiny the establishment of these United States. He had proclaimed from the beginning that this land would be the land of the outstretched wings of the eagle. It doesn't make any difference if half the people that came here didn't know it. They still, my friends, were being moved by impetus to do what God willed. And just as by his word he created the heavens and earth, by his word he set up nations and kingdoms. And this nation was a nation under God of his own people. And I point out to you that in the course of divine purpose, the development of this great nation, building around his word, was a vital purpose in his plan. He even proclaimed hundreds of years before his own embodiment in the message which he gave to the prophet, that this nation would be a mighty leader, would defend the nations of his civilization and culture, would give this great offering of service before the Most High God, and in these latter days would stand against these powers of darkness, these forces of evil.
But it did not say that we wouldn't have a time of Jacob's trouble and we wouldn't have an infiltration to our society, because the scripture told us that we would have an infiltration of the great nations of God's kingdom, and this one surely is not too spared, in which the powers of darkness would try to turn us away from worshiping our God. Any area of collapse, any area of disintegration, any area of breakdown in our society, the enemy that comes in must turn us first from our God. Because if we operate on his laws, we stand sound, secure, and strong. If we swerve from these areas of law, there is no way to turn except catastrophe and destruction, because what God has created is. What he has put into effect is the fiat. This is the structure. This is the synthesis of substance. It's not important to which extremity you might go to evaluate this. From the smallest atom, he ordained it. If it's a hydrogen atom, it's one electron, it's one proton. You can't add any more to it. And if you try to take anything out of it or drive a wedge in it, it'll blow up. You don't change that law. The law is there. Disregard it, if you will. Violate it or seek to violate, you get catastrophe, but it's there. You can go to the most intricate packet of uranium, 235 or 238. There'll be just so many electrons moving around that nucleus, and there's not going to be any more. And that's what synthesizes this will and this mind of the Father that put it together. He hath ordained the structure of substance. He hath ordained also its organization and its animation. And he hath put his own life and his own spirit into the race of which you were a part. You live in this vital shell of animated substance. And you make its life and you make its vitality. If the spirit leaves it, it dies. The spirit resident in it, a soul consciousness, can reside here. By this process, there is nothing more important for us to understand than that the laws of God exist. They came to being by his mind, and his declaration and his proclamation concerning it is his word, and by his word and by his order it has its being. This is the reason, then, that you are children of the living word. We refer to the Anglo-Saxon people and of our kindred household as the people of the book. Why? Because their greatness is the foundation of their thinking, their lives, and their attainment, based upon his word. When I tell you that to preach the word, to proclaim the word, to speak the word, contains not only the power that shall break this whole facet of error, but as the president signs the bill to abolish our immigration barriers by this statue alongside of the base of which gives us of your scum, your refuse, empty your prisons, and that's exactly what this bill would do. Well, you say, well, of course, they can't put it into effect till 1968. Well, that has some point. But by an executive decree, he can bring them in by the millions. You say, how do you answer this? This is the legislation. You start speaking the word, and the judgments of God will fall on the enemies of legislation where it there is. This thing will be reversed by the great demand of the people if the church will speak the word. I've been looking over already great opposition rising out of all kinds of periodicals and all areas of editorial activity. Why did this go through? What was Congress thinking of? Why did they do this? Well, they did this because men today are seeking to please the world order instead of taking a stand on the word. We today have the same thing breaking up parties. The Republican Party is on the way down and out unless it reverses its course. It's not in position as far as power is concerned, but they're going to break any power they have if they want to purge it of people that are right. I can disagree with organizations, and leadership can be ill-advised in these organizations. The enemy penetrates them. But I want you to know the great principle of thinking free, the great principle of opposing communism, the great principle of upholding property and upholding all that goes with liberty and property is a part of the program of God. When they want to purge people out because they're not amenable to the kind of pressure that says yes to every socialist process of the revolution, then, my friends, when they can purge out of the Republican Party, the John Birch Society, they can purge out the Methodists and the Baptists, too. They surely would purge out the Church of Jesus Christ Christians. If they don't straighten up, anybody in it will walk out. I point out that it doesn't make any difference whether it's a Nixon or a Morton. We don't care whether it's the jerks or who it is. They've demonstrated that they are now giving assent to the demand of the world order.
Talk about freedom. They want to purge a party because men think conservatively with intent. I heard one moaning politician say, why, this organization, these conservatives, we call them extremists.
He said, they'd like to take over this party. You better well know we'd like to take it over.
Let me tell you this afternoon. If the people of God, if people who stand for right, do not observe that they must take over political parties and every institution in this country if they're to stay free, then there's no facet to their proclamation.
There's no use just talking about something if you can't translate it into action.
I listened to one of the PTA heads worrying about the influence with which the right wing is moving into the PTA.
Well, God save America, if they don't move into the PTA, the trend towards education will be destructive.
He said, the Word of God doesn't have an answer for this. Oh, yes, the Word of God has a lot of answers to this. You know, the areas of education that we better start applying as it relates to our social order. As for the fathers and mothers of this nation to fulfill their responsibility before God to train up their child in relationship to the laws of God morally and ethically. And if they train them up in this way, they'll not be part out of it. And by the same process, they should have been teaching their children in the areas of our education, should have followed it, to honor their fathers and their mothers. And instead of trying to wean our children away from the parents and turn it loose as wards of the state, which is the policy of collectivism and in violation of divine law, we should be battling this at every turn. The Word of God is complete. There is not one social problem, there is not one facet of operation in any area of our life or living that the Word of God does not have a final answer on this. And then let me tell you something else about the living Word of God. Any little area of it also, because the Spirit which resides in you is kin with the Spirit of the Father. And it will reveal every secret thing and make everything known unto you. So whatsoever you desire in order to synchronize your thinking and your life and your living with the purpose of God, it will bring this to your consciousness. And I can point out to you that there is no field where this does not work. You can go into the Capitol of the United States and there's a prayer room there. On the door of that prayer room is George Washington kneeling in prayer. They can say all they want to about pagan activities, about agnosticism, and about the fact that we don't want anything spiritual connected with our nation. But they had to recognize that this great statesman, this father of our republic, because of instituting first the areas of its operation, knelt in prayer even in the snow, and there it is. So God save the atmosphere of that room, because in these next few days, they're going to hold high holiday, holy services for the Jews in there so that the Jews can stay in Congress and vote. And if we had fulfilled the laws of God, there wouldn't be any Jews in Congress or in the United States either. Now don't shake your head, just acknowledge that God has already pointed out who they are, and he's already declared their relationship to the whole Babylonian process. You're in the midst of a final seizure of the kingdom of God by the Babylonian order of the Antichrist, and the spiritual resistance that God's going to stir up in this nation and among his household is going to make it fail and produce your survival. What do you suppose the Pope's coming over here for tomorrow? Just a 24-hour visit. It's a long day. He gets in and starts his functions at 6:30, and by 9 o'clock he's on the way home, and he's done about everything he can do in 24 hours. The Pope comes to the United States. And what is he going to say? I listened to a broadcast in which a Methodist clergyman said he's the first churchman in the world. All right? If a Methodist thinks he's the first churchman in the world, and if this is the church, why is he in the Methodist church for? I listened to a broadcast in which they said that all of the religious leaders of America, Protestant, Jewish, as well as Catholic, are going to sit at the feet of the first churchman in the world at the United Nations building tomorrow. And he's coming over here
for what purpose? As first churchman of the world, by their acclamation, not mine. There has only one thing that he should be here for, and that's to preach the word. And if he went into that United Nations as the vicar of Christ to preach the word, he'd have to say, you're going to have to split this thing up and just build it out of Christian nations. He'd have to say, there is only one God, there's only one faith, and all of us had better get together proclaiming it, and those who won't accept it had better be driven out of this institution.
Then I'd even cheer for him. He's not going to do that. He already has briefed the cardinals over in Rome what he's going to say. In order to keep the world from destroying itself, in order to keep the Russians and the Albanians from eventually sacking the Vatican, I want to disarm men, and I want them all rolled together, and they'll leave me have the ecclesiastical power, and they can have the temporal power. And so he's operating like the false prophet in the last days, and saying that what we ought to do is get all nations in the United Nations, let China come in, let all nations come in. And then let all power pass into the hands of the United Nations so that no one can make war because all military strength will be there. And you know what you have? You'll have the voice of the false prophet preparing the program for the Antichrist for a one-world takeover. So I said, you think that the Catholic Church is a false prophet? I think a bad bishop, a bad pope, whether he's a Pike in Ostrom or the present Pope Paul, is a false prophet when he proclaims something that's in opposition to the Word of God.
So this isn't going to be popular. It doesn't make a bit of difference when it's popular.
But I'll tell you something that they may not recognize. We have discovered something. It's one of the most heartening things that people can discover. We have discovered that people have warned us time and again. Don't preach on this subject. Don't talk about it. Just ignore it. It's going to be unpopular. They said if you preach on this, you're going to be branded as a hate monger, or they're going to say you're anti-Semitic, or they're going to say it's non-Christian, and you're not out. There'll be no followers, and there'll be no response. You know what they don't know? They don't know that the children of the Father also must live on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That nobody was as unpopular with the Jews as Jesus. And today, there exists one-sixth of the world's population that acknowledges the embodiment of Jesus as Lord and God.
Now,
I talked to a minister the other day. I say the other day, several weeks ago. If I gave you his name, you'd never heard of him. You would never know him. He's a Congregationalist, but you'd never heard of him. And he was trying to tell me that apart from the crews that are involved in this, that it's deadly, it'll isolate you, nobody will ever hear of you, it'll ruin you, there's no success in it. I said, you know what I found out? I found out millions were waiting for this. We've got millions listening and hanging on every word that we proclaim that comes out of the mouth of God. Who ever heard of you? I said, I never heard of you before I just met you. And you're telling me what I've got to do in order to find the approbation of people. And I said, how many people approve of what you're saying? The only approbation you've got is that you can say, I'm standing in here with Johnson, the world order, and all the pagans. And I may not have as many people that might think like you think, but I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather have the people that believe in the Word of God that will back this word, because we're going to change the world. He said, they'll lock you up. I said, I don't think so. I said, they locked up Jesus. They locked up Paul. They had Peter and John in prison, but they didn't keep them there. But I want you to know that in this day in which we speak, woe unto them that lift up their hands against men and women of God. Woe unto them that move against God's anointed, or against his household, or against his body in the world today. For ye are the body of Christ.
There could be no doubt that many people are captured, but when they start equating what they should say about the security which would be involved in it for their own person, then, my friends, they have not and do not possess the qualities that God wants today from you for the job that needs to be done.
Well, we were told in the Scripture to be careful for nothing.
So I said, what does that mean? Shouldn't we take a little care? Shouldn't we look out for things here? When God says, be careful for nothing, he means you should move with utter abandon to proclaim any stand that God takes. Because he's behind it.
You say, well, it costs you. It's not going to cost you. My father's rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in his hands. This is his world.
This don't belong to the devil just because he's been exploiting it. It belongs to God.
There are times when one reaches here and there and wonders how things will be done, but then you still press on to go ahead and do it because you know it has to be done. And this we call faith.
We believe God. God honors faith. God honors your faith. God will honor the faith of the nation. God will honor faith of people that have the courage to denounce evil politically, socially, economically, and morally. He will honor the faith of individuals that will take a stand. He will cleanse the nation for this people.
All I ask you to do is preach the word. Proclaim the word. Speak the word.
You say, well, of course, that's why we leave that up to the minister, though. Ye are my witnesses. You're my children. You're members of my household. And therefore, it is important that you realize that you must also speak the thing that your consciousness, your spirit, your understanding is synchronized with. Because if you want this mighty strength to put together the universe, to hold together the world, and to establish the kingdom and permit it to grow to the size it is today, if you want the strength and the power, if you want to move with this flow of force, then you better keep in step with it. And I tell you today, as you synchronize your life and your thinking, your proclamation, your position with these things which God has proclaimed, it is not important how many moralizers today operating under a world order's aspect of these things disagree with you. It's just important that you know that your stand is the one that God has proclaimed and that you're right with God. And I'll tell you what it will do. It will build within you such a moving faith that it will make you eloquent in its proclamation. It will give you a courage that you have never experienced. And then there shall move out of this the retreat. You know the one thing the enemy cannot stand? He cannot stand the Word of God. And the enemy cannot understand how it is that the children of God seem to know everything they plan to do. No matter how many of them get together in a secret room in Paris or in the United Nations and plot a design, before they've moved out of that room, somebody's preaching about it. Because the Spirit of God makes known unto his ministers what the enemy intends to do. I had a minister say to me, well, Dr. Cliff, the Spirit of God never spoke to me, never told me anything. He says, I don't believe it. I said, that's why I haven't anything to talk about. Now, I have also ascertained this, that against the Word of God, there is no answer. Can you see Mr. Johnson trying to argue with a church that proclaimed the truth by telling the people that never mind the Word of God? Or if he says this isn't the Word of God and they're reading it out of the Bible, what's he going to do? If you want to pick a absolutely defeated side of an argument, get up and start fighting the Word of God. So I said, but if we held silent on some of these points, couldn't we have tranquility here? Who wants tranquility with the devil? The enemy today is trying to buy you with false promises. It's going to alleviate all poverty. It's also going to alleviate all independence, all private ownership. They're going to own your super apartment and your new super urban dwelling. They're going to let you live in it or escalate you up or down in it according to how you serve the state. They'll see that you have ration tickets to get enough food out of the collective barns. They'll see that you have enough of their strange wampum to enjoy yourself and all of the world's series of amusement. They'll see that a state undertaker buries you when you die and a state doctor jams you through of all the tranquilizing drugs before you die. And you got nothing to worry about because you're going to live if you die anyhow, the state tells you. But the great super state must extend this over all the world, and you as a half-nation must be sacrificed to bring this to pass. This is the devil's proposition. Not in the correct of its high-level apartment.
Now, you can live in one of those high-level jails if you want to, but make sure that you're paying the rent and it's your jail. Because the very moment you become the servant of a socialist state that wants to embrace all gods and all religions and wants to put you through a eventual collectivist program, you're not free. Now, this never fits the kingdom, because we are children of a living God. Because we are a men set free, and those that have been set free by Christ are free indeed. And we're to be free from error and free from bondage, and it's to be just as effective in one facet of our lives as another. So we tell you again, men do not live by bread alone. Every word that came out of the mouth of God, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven, Jesus said. No man can ascend to heaven, but they that come down out of it, you can come and go. You can stay. Jesus said, as in his human embodiment, speaking unto the spirit that filled him, that was his own spirit by which he held the world together, I have bestowed upon them the word of the spirit. This word I have given them. Now don't take them out of the world, keep them in it. Speak the word, it says, and it shall be done. So we tell you this afternoon, there is no problem here that the word of God does not settle. But if you start challenging the enemy with thus saith the Lord, he has to retreat before you and never let him stop. Just keep pushing him until he starts swimming from our shores or leaving in his canoe. Then just don't retreat from every institution, organization that says we're not going to have this. Well, how many people do you hear as they say, well, now we don't want you to bring any religion into our party. We don't want any religion brought into our education. We don't want any religion brought. We don't care what they like. We're going to bring the truth of God into everything we can get it into. And if they don't like it, let them leave. We've come to stay. It'll either be the truth of God or the witch doctors and what? Several hundred Negroes met with the mayor of Riverside the other day. I had a friend who was right there to hear what they said. And they said, if we don't get our demands, if we don't get a total integration, if we don't get everybody bussed the way we want to, if we don't get special employment, we're going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to burn Riverside. The mayor didn't like this, and he didn't buy it very much. The pressure has recently put some Louisville, Jenny Brown, or something like that, a Negress in the Board of Education, in some area of social education. Big educational meeting the other day. I said, now listen, we better have what we want right now. I speak for the Negro community here. It's not will Riverside burn, it's when is Riverside going to burn, or else capitulate. I was told yesterday in Riverside, as I talked to its citizens, just how far these threats have gone. And the kind of incidents that they have been living under. All right? It's either start preaching the word and occupying your own country and enforcing the law and making everything subnormal and abnormal, either behave and come under it or get out. But this is the law of God. But remember this, that when you are in partnership with your Father, as children of his kingdom, synchronized with his mind, thinking his thoughts, applying his wisdom, there is no horizon out there that has any problem too big for you to handle as you approach it. So we are looking forward to a great new day, a day when America shall shine with the light and the glory of God, as George Washington beheld it in vision, and as God has promised it to you.